in the show. Malcolm Turner out as Vanderbilt AD. Jordan Rogers came on the show and said, it's his belief Vanderbilt doesn't want to change. They've got people in place right now that really don't have much interest in pushing forward, forward progress, doing the necessary changes that we've been talking about for years on this show. Certainly Jordan Rogers has been talking about for years on this show. There's a lot of stuff out there floating around. Max Herz, we bring him back into the conversation. Went to Vanderbilt, does the play-by-play for Vanderbilt women's basketball, does play-by-play on, you work a lot of the baseball games. I know you do what? Play-by-play and sidelines. You do a little bit of everything. And with that being said, the interim right now is somebody you've worked with. And in fact, you're supposed to be doing some work tonight in that realm. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, tonight I'm going to host the Vandy Women's Basketball Coaches Show. So I'm not sure what Candace Lee's media schedule looks like. I assume there will be some sort of availability sometime this week. But
I have been told, because I've already asked for her to come on the show, and that's what Vanderbilt has told me, that they're working on her availability for this week. So,
and I mean, look, if nothing else, talking with the women's basketball coaches and staff and head coach Stephanie White, who will be on the show with me amongst others, they have the best possible insight in terms of Candace Lee is their sport administrator. She's also been the sport administrator for football, which I think she's been for 2 years now. But for a decade and a half.
So what does that mean? Exactly.
For a decade and a half, she has been the senior woman administrator, which is the most important job in her role. I believe every single athletic department has a senior woman administrator now, but she became the SWA in 2004 before most schools had a senior woman administrator. So not only does that mean overseeing all the women's sports and helping them make their big decisions, but it also means basically being in the room where the decisions happen in the athletic department, regardless of what else is going on and what sport the decisions involve. But she has been the administrator in charge of women's basketball for really her entire time working in the department.
That was a question that I wanted answered, because it's the athletic department. It's not just football or just men's basketball or women's basketball or baseball or bowling or tennis. It's the entire athletic department that, you know, needs help. But I think everybody also recognizes that there are some sports that require more attention than others, more money. And I'm just curious of how she handles all of that.
Yeah, we'll see what she's afforded to do. And as I said last hour, We're going to find out how much of her personality she's able to put on it, but I think right now they're going to have to get out of the problems that have been created that forced this change, which it is not unrelated to money. So
yeah. So, and you may not can answer this because you may not know the answer, but from a football standpoint, and Derek Mason, how could you see this move affecting him? Because now somebody that has been there his entire tenure is taking over, somebody that knows him. So could that be good or bad, or we don't know yet?
I definitely don't think it's bad. I think there's a little bit more perspective involved. I think there's more understanding. And I think the thing about Candace Lee is that she really exists and operates on the ground level of Vanderbilt athletics. She has handshake, eye contact, very personal relationships with Vanderbilt's players in many, many sports. And I think that's evident, and I think she will make herself seen. I think she will be around. I think she will be methodical in terms of choosing what steps to take, especially in the beginning. But it's weird to say it's the beginning, too, because, I mean, she's been doing it for almost two decades already.
Well, so, it's like Arthur Smith. I mean, Arthur Smith was around,
There's institutional knowledge, which is extremely valuable.
Once you become the OC, it is different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, because you've been in the building, right? You've been behind closed doors. You've been a part of staffs. But when you become the OC in the NFL, it is different. And it's no different than this. She is going to take on a different role, and she's going to face new challenges that she's already aware of. But the question is, okay, now that you are in that spot, how do you go about trying to get change?
Yeah, and from the information we got today in the press releases that were put out by the athletic department and the university on the main Vanderbilt website, the first one about Turner resigning and the second one about Candace Lee taking the position over, this is the thing that stands out to me as valuable information. As one of her first steps as interim athletic director, Lee is assembling a working group comprising members of the Vanderbilt athletic leadership team and coaching staffs to provide input and to assist with next steps. Lee and the working group will collaborate directly with the interim chancellor and the entire university leadership team on the launch and implementation of the strategic plan for athletics. So based on this, the strategic plan is not totally going away. It just hasn't been announced yet. And now,
probably modified.
Yes, it will be modified by this group, and this is the doers group. I mean, I would imagine this contains multiple head coaches, a member or two of the athletic administration, and knowing Candace Lee, there are going to be some Vanderbilt athletes, either current or recently graduated, on this panel.
So let's go over some other things that's been out there floating around, and we haven't touched on it a bunch, but let's. Getting new people listening constantly. So there was a baseball banquet at the Omni downtown on Saturday night that Malcolm Turner was at. He had just started as the AD a year ago. He just made it a year. And so as Vanderbilt is getting ready to kick off their baseball season, we're going to have Tim Corbin on tomorrow. Malcolm Turner not present at on Saturday night. There was also recognition, Memorial Gym. Vanderbilt was hosting Florida. 1993 team out there being recognized. AD, not present, not there. Now there's reports that, oh, well, it would make sense. He was down in Miami at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So Chris Lee from VandySports.com reported that today. I had heard that within the past couple of days as well. It was unclear why, but it is presumably related. But I was at the baseball banquet. I didn't see him there. I assume he's at the home basketball game. I didn't even know that reunion was going on, but Malcolm Turner has had such a heavy hand in planning those that it would be surprising if he wasn't there.
Well, Chris Lee was really a big part of a lot of this thread, all this stuff that was going on with Malcolm Turner. Chris Lee has been breaking a lot of stuff on that front. So that would go back to what we've been talking about. Okay, when did he start thinking?
Yeah.
Well, clearly he was way checked out, right? He's down the Super Bowl. That's where people – it's like going to the Final Four, right? If you're going to the Final Four and you're a coach, you're looking for a job. That's the place to go. If you're looking for a job in the sports industry, Super Bowl is probably a pretty good place, okay? Now, there's also stuff out there, and it seems to be – I'm seeing it more on the national level, so I want to have you weigh in on this. There's a lot of national people reporting that – I know that they're presenting this as a resignation, and it was accepted by Vanderbilt. But I've seen Jeff Goodman, I've seen Dan Wolken, and I'm trying to think who else I've seen. They are basically putting out there that he was fired.
Yeah, and I think it was in a way mutual, but I could definitely believe either end of it. I don't have any reporting that backs that up, but
maybe,
those are trustworthy
maybe
people.
Maybe nudged behind the scenes. Like this
isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And I think what you're seeing, and how many times, Darren, over the years have you seen this of – there's always the rumor of, okay, there was an internal candidate or a candidate that had connections and had been working their way up, but they don't get the job initially. They make the hire, whether it's an AD or a coach. It fails, and then they go to the person that, okay, you know what, maybe we should have just gone with them all along. That's what this feels like because of the reports that, you know, Candace Lee was – David Williams was obviously very close with her and wanted her to take over, and I've seen different reports of that. And now they're going in that direction, even though she has the interim tag. Look, we have no idea how this is going to look. None of us can make that prediction. Maybe Max has a little more insight because of his involvement with the program, but I can't sit here and tell you, okay, this is going to be better until I actually see it. But it has that feel of, now there's a little bit of regret from Vanderbilt's standpoint that, okay, Malcolm Turner going outside, going to somebody that, you know, has been in the professional leagues, in the G League, maybe that was the bad move. Let's stay in the family.
I don't think it's that at all. I don't think it's regret. I think it's he pushed the envelope. He came in and he was, you know, the guy that wanted to do say, and so he made them uncomfortable.
Right.
Buyer's remorse. I don't know why we should have just gone with her. No, he was doing was making them uncomfortable if they're not ready for change.
And that leads them to regret because they're showing that they don't want to change. That's what I mean by that.
Well, I mean, I would say to them, well, there was also change, though, within the structure of, remember, people that were in place on his hire are not in place anymore. So things changed over on the campus. I don't think it's about that. I mean, when you hire somebody, what did you think they were going to do? Come in and sit on their hands?
No, that's not how it's supposed
to be. Especially with his background?
That's not how it's supposed to be at all.
No,
you want them to come in and make
change.
This
is about people, the structure, as we've already talked about, people have changed. Okay, they're people that were in place that are no longer in place. And so now you've got all these new people, and they come in with their own philosophies and their own background and their own experiences. And all of a sudden, the landscape, look, we've all been a part of that, right? You're at a job one minute, and things change around you, and everything you've been accustomed to and used to is totally different.
Yeah.
And the workplace didn't change.
Sometimes that's a good thing, though.
I mean, it's the same, right, but I'm just saying it's the same building, but all of a sudden you change some people in and out, and everything has changed around you, and you're like, oh, well, this is not how we're doing things anymore. This is going to be done things this way.
Right.
So I think that's probably what happened to Malcolm Turner. I think he had obstacles to begin with, and then you start making some changes, and then the obstacles or the hills become mountains. It probably, he was looking around going, I don't think I can move these mountains.
Yeah, and, I don't think Malcolm Turner did anything that I wouldn't expect him to do. I mean, he did the things that I expect him to do when he became the athletic director. And if those things didn't pay immediate dividends or didn't please the changing look of the leadership of the university at large, then that could have had something to do with this. But again, I don't think his course of action, although much bolder in terms of engaging the outside firms in this planning, although bolder than what had been done in the past, I don't think it shocked anybody. So a reversal of course.
Am I right in my concerns of, and I'm not hating on anything that happened in previous administrations with David Williams. I you know, loved David Williams. We all did. But in the thought process of, okay, if Vanderbilt wants to take steps forward, you just moved on from a guy that supposedly had a big plan. He was spending money. He was trying to put an emphasis on athletics. And you're walking away from that, and you're going to somebody that has been there for a while and under the old administration. Am I right to be concerned about that? And I don't know what Candace Lee is going to be, but I just worry that there isn't a change in the way of thinking, and that's what needs to happen. That's why I'm having concerns.
I think you're right to be concerned. I would articulate the reason I'm concerned not about who is taking over. It could be anybody who's taking over.
Yeah.
My concern is that there was a big plan. This was very obviously everybody's plan A, and 12 months later, that plan is gone. So that is my concern.
Right. And I share that concern.
There are many ways out, but there's going to have to be at least a little bit of backtracking from the original plan that happened. And if there wasn't going to be, this wouldn't have happened. So
more with Max Herz on the other side.
I just find there's not a lot of hope. The problem is we went out and got somebody that in real world experiences away from sports in the manner that Vanderbilt deals with it, away from a lot of the different problems that come with college sports, a guy that had real world success at building something and scaling something was not able to come in and convince the financial arm, the institution of Vanderbilt, that we need to do things differently. And that's where I don't have hope. It's not that I don't believe Candace can be successful. I think Candace has every opportunity. She has everything in herself, her character, her will, her determination, her hard work. The problem is Vanderbilt. And that's always been the problem. The problem is there is a stigma and a stereotype of what spending money looks like. And there's a complacency when it comes to sports. And there will and always has been a problem with the academic side of Vanderbilt not wanting to be overshadowed by sports, and the thought that if we spend money, if we invest money in sports, we're less of an academic institution. I think you look at many programs across this country where that is just simply not true. Both can coexist. Vanderbilt can be unbelievably academic, and they can be unbelievable at sports if they choose to invest.
strong words from former Vanderbilt quarterback Jordan Rogers, who's on the show in the third hour today. And there's strong concern here. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside Max Herz, who went to Vanderbilt, is now doing stuff on the Vanderbilt athletic side of things. So I'll ask you, Jordan is concerned. Others are concerned. How concerned are you moving forward?
At least a little bit. It's just an unexpected change, and when something unexpected happens, you don't really know what the next course of action is. I think we'll hear a lot within the next week or so as everybody gets a chance to speak publicly with a little bit more of a plan in place about what happens from here, why Malcolm Turner is gone. And I think it's important that everyone with that power or the inside opportunity to take the lead here has a chance to reassure everyone, whether it's Vandy fans, general people who are working there, what's coming next. So I think it's important that we give everyone that chance to speak, but I think we also need to hear a little bit of a what and a why concretely.
She's been around, so she understands the lay of the land. She signed up for this, so we know her heart's in it. We know how she feels about the university. But I wonder how much this perspective, because, yeah, you're in the inner workings. Yeah, you're behind closed doors. And so you know what's going on. But if you're not in that lead dog role, you can't feel the same way as when you're in the lead dog. It's like, I hate to keep going back, it's like the Arthur Smith reference. Like, you can say, I can't imagine. I don't understand really why we're doing these plays right here on offense. But it's like you could go home with that. But in the end, it's like you're not the offensive coordinator, so it's not really affecting your job. I mean, your job is the tight ends or whatever. And so you've got your little area. But when you become the OC, now you are overseeing. It is your responsibility. So now that you've moved into that role, maybe concerns that you had or things that you saw, you're like, man, I hate that, or I don't like that, I can't believe that, but it's not on my watch. But now it is. So I wonder how she feels knowing that.
I would say there was very little that happened in the last 3 to 5 years, just to throw a ballpark range out there, of David Williams' AD tenure that Candace Lee was not almost a total equal part of in terms of decision-making, and not at least in on in terms of informed. And Chase mentioned earlier that Casey Hayward tweeted that his last conversation with David Williams before he passed away was that David wanted Candace to succeed him. And operating that way, he operated as if that were true.
Yeah,
I would say from my experience and my knowledge, they were together on so many issues, so many conversations, and I can't speak for Malcolm Turner's tenure, and I don't think it was the exact same way, but so much of what David Williams did, what he considered, what he thought, and what he preached, Candace was in on 100% every step of the way, and that was purposeful.
I wonder how much she was in on what Malcolm Turner was doing.
I would say less.
Considerably?
I don't know. That I don't know. They had a great relationship. I know that for a fact. But, I mean, it's different, and it was still new, too. I mean,
yeah, he was there
wasn't
year.
Even a routine set. Right. So, I mean, it's almost irrelevant, you know, that part of it.
Yeah, but I think it goes along the lines of what we've been talking about, of how he did a lot of stuff behind the scenes and, you know, it played it close to the vest, which in some ways is a good thing. Some ways, not so much.
He operated like the world that he came from, which is a major professional sports league.
He operated like a commissioner.
And in many ways, the choices and the hires that he made about the men's basketball team were run like an NBA team.
Yeah.
And it seems like, at least in the short term, those things haven't led to any success.
Max, let's finish up with this, because I know Jerry Stackhouse is going to speak over on campus in about 45 minutes or so, and I know you've got to get to that. People, I always say on the show, people have power. A lot of people out there, fans, think that they don't have power. They have power. You do have power. Okay, you can send a message. There are a lot of frustrated Vanderbilt fans, a lot, listening to this radio show right now. I know. I've heard from them a lot over the years. Willie has heard from them a ton over the years. Things are not going to get any better, especially when this stuff is out there. We talked about, can the commissioner, can the SEC office, the fans, what is it going to take maybe for a change in mentality over on Vanderbilt? Maybe, like, you don't have to go, because Jordan was right. Like, the whole, like, keeping up with Alabama, that's ridiculous. You don't have to keep up with Alabama. That's silly. Okay, nobody's saying keep up with Alabama. Nobody's saying keep up with LSU, okay? But there can be some middle ground. You don't have to be, as Jordan said, they're 14th. And they're 14th all by themselves. And then 13-1 is in another group, right, what they're doing. There can be some middle ground. How do you think they go about trying to get to that middle ground? Not be Alabama or LSU, but get to that middle ground.
They got to find some sort of foolproof plan, because I think they took on a lot of risk and spent more money than they wanted to over the last year, and that's what led to this. So I think a less risky approach, while adhering as much as possible to what they were going to do with the facilities plan, can still happen. And I think upgrades to football were going to be at the top of that. Upgrades to their daily facility, not to the stadium. Upgrades to their daily facility, which would help recruiting, at least in their estimation. I think that still has to be the next step, but it's a matter of, is this new group that's been assembled of decision makers, mostly pre-existing decision makers, are they going to say, we can start going ahead with bits and pieces of this, or we got to wait, or we got to drum up some money to do it? A lot of different things could be in play.
This is a day of breaking news.
No kidding. My goodness. Just save it.
I will.
We'll save it for the other side. Holy crap. There's big news out of East Lansing we'll get to in just a minute. All right, last thing. He's going to get pressed, okay? I hope he knows that. Like, what do you think Jerry Stackhouse is going to say in 45 minutes? He's going to get asked a lot about everything we've been talking about all day. How do you think he's going to handle that?
I truly have no idea.
Yeah.
I really don't know. And I think a legitimate concern now is Jerry Stackhouse invested in Vanderbilt? I mean, he was here as a partner of Malcolm Turner's, and they were partners for what seemed like they wanted to be the long term. And, I mean, if just like Malcolm Turner could probably go back into major pro sports or into a conference office pretty quickly with his experience, Jerry Stackhouse could be an NBA head coach pretty quickly if he wanted to and made himself available for it. So I think that's a legitimate concern. I think Stackhouse has been very open with the media this year when they have at least spoken his language and not been redundant in terms of asking him to rehash things that he's already explained. So I would expect him to be at least a little bit candid in all this, but I mean, he is plot 1A here, I would say.
Well, we're about to find out in 45 minutes. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Max Herz, who will not be the last time you hear him on the show talking about this particular subject matter, and we appreciate him stepping in here. There's huge news. A major college football coach is out. We'll tell you who we're talking about on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.